You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. I almost started singing a song from Moulin Rouge, because there is a Moulin Rouge-iness to the Greatest Showman.
Yeah, it's just like the sort of like the escapism.
The part colors of it. And the movement.
Well, the showman sort
the
of like.
Showman.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a big, like they shove a cannon full of like bright colors and confetti and a bunch of like songs that aren't previous existing pop songs, but have a very pop song. Stage song and more pop song feel to them.
Absolutely.
And then just exploded at the screen with like a vortex of camera movement. So
in that sense,
it's kind of Moulin Rouge-y.
Yeah,
which means I already can tell some people I know who are going to despise it.
Without question.
But this one is based on the life of P.T. Barnum, who there strangely already is a musical about.
Yeah.
They just chose not to go that way.
Well, someone gave me some background, and I told them I had seen this. They said the owners of Barnum told the producers, you cannot make Barnum. You can flat out not make
original existing.
Yeah, exactly.
Isn't this been around since like the 50s or something?
Yeah, but property rights, I don't know. I wasn't really listening, to be honest with you.
Some musical folks are like, we will never make money on the stage show again if you make a movie.
I think that might have been something like that. But so essentially they had to sort of like borrow the skeleton of P.T. Barnum's life and just go from there.
Fortunately, you can't copyright P.T. the life of someone based on actual events. Sorry, you don't get to trademark that. Otherwise, that movie about McDonald's never would have come out.
Oh, that's such yeah. Good movie, by the way. I like them.
But yeah, you get Hugh Jackman, who everyone thinks, oh, Wolverine. But Hugh Jackman has always been a song and dance man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a Tony Award-winning
Wolverine in his
actor.
Career is the aberration, not the standard. You know,
It
just so happened that for whatever reason, he was the perfect guy for that part.
Probably because he's used to being big on stage.
And,
you know?
Exactly.
Right. He got those instincts, mm-hmm. which is what was required of Wolverine. And then he made Wolverine into something way more and better than it was originally.
Yeah.
And here I think he's ended up being exactly the right guy to play this role, P.T. Barnum, who was a bigger-than-life personality and yet was also a really serious family man. And the movie kind of makes its crux, its drama around him starting to lose himself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't know how true this is, this part of the story.
Yeah.
I've never read anything that said this. This may have been developed as part of the plot for this, but starting to forget about the things that got him to where he was when he got swept up in the glamour of being the greatest showman.
He lets himself get carried off by his dreams and his ambition, and they are just unending. He forgets to, you know, keep it like one foot in reality.
Right.
You know,
not little people.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, which like his wife played here by Michelle Williams, who sadly isn't given a hell of a lot to do.
No, she's lovely.
She does a good job with what she's given, but she is capable of far more, I think.
But it's, you know, watching her absolutely support him as he gradually figures out what it is that missing niche, that thing that people want to see, which starts from like a museum and goes to, you know, the circus sideshow.
Yeah.
And as we gather this cast of people to play all these various characters, some of which are freaks, some of which are just performers, like Zendaya plays one of the trapeze artists mm-hmm. here, is like a bigger name, of course. And everybody is kind of given a little bit of an arc.
Yeah.
You know, like, I think some of it you remember more the people who are the best singers, like the bearded lady.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. She's
played
fantastic.
By Kiala Settle. I'm not familiar with myself, but she just belts it out, man.
Oh, that
she
song.
She commands
the
screen whenever she's on it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
She's got a huge presence.
I think the only thing that was really weird for me is the guy they had playing Tom Thumb, of course, was the dwarf performer,
mm-hmm.
Sam Humphrey. For some reason, they clearly dubbed his voice.
Yeah, the voice was so off. It was such a disconnect.
Yeah, we're still Rebecca Ferguson's.
You know, especially with people who like that have that form of dwarfism, which makes you incredibly tiny. Not just like, you know, because we're not talking about Tyrion Lannister here. We're talking about like half his size.
Yes.
They have very kind of higher range voices, and he talked like this.
Yeah.
And you're like, that's just fucking weird, dude.
I feel like
watching
an
Italian, like, 60s movie.
It would have been much more, like, powerful had they, you know, just went with his normal voice. It had been much more emotional and much more, you know, just real.
And I couldn't think of any reason why they didn't.
Yeah, me neither. Except for, like...
contrast. They just wanted a dramatic contrast.
Yeah, like the wow sort of thing.
Sort of like the Bugs Bunny cartoons when you've got the, you know, the song and dance... frog.
Yeah, Michigan Tea Frog.
Yeah, and then, you know...
Oh, my baby! Yeah. Oh, my darling!
Oh, gosh.
But it's his voice, and then he doesn't have any voice, so I think it's... I think that was why they did it.
Anachronism?
Not anachronism, but just a dramatic contrast.
Okay.
At least some producer was like, that's what I want, and they said, oh, yeah, you got the money.
See, the reasoning, I just thought it was very... kept taking me out of the movie every time he talked.
Yeah.
But I did really enjoy as well another big song and dance man who plays kind of the second lead in this, Zac Efron, who definitely, in his career, has surprised the hell out of me of having a lot more talent than I would have given him credit.
He is pretty good in this, yeah. And I like his arc as someone who, you know, was felt trapped by his sort of, like, societal place in society and, you know, ventured outside of it until he found his, you know, his real place.
Yeah, he plays Philip Carlyle, who is an actor who's, like, a more serious actor who P.T. Barnum gradually convinces, hey... I need your skills to come in and be part of this thing that, at that point, people were still, like, turning their noses up, despite the fact that they were making money hand over fist.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know? And he's definitely a big part of the dramatic arc and that person who, like, originally didn't want to be part of it, but then is able to see what exactly it is P.T. Barnum needs when he's at a low point, you know?
Right.
And then you have the lovely and talented Rebecca Ferguson playing the very real Jenny Lind, mm-hmm. who was an incredibly famous Swedish singer at the time, who Barnum went out of his way saying, I need some respectability, so I'm going to track this girl down and I'm going to hire her.
She, I believe, had already or had retired from being a professional opera singer at that point.
Yeah, I believe that is true.
Yeah.
But he, in real life, talked her into it and they toured around the country and it was a huge success.
Incredible amount of shows.
Yeah.
Wow,
like
nice.
90-some concerts.
She was one of those, but like an opera singer who was world famous, which is not really a thing anymore.
Yeah, any famous opera singers do you know now?
Domingo, Pavarotti.
Yeah, so they're all dead.
You know. Domingo's around.
Oh, is he? Yes. I thought he was dead too.
No.
I know my dad was all sad when Pavarotti died.
It was sad.
Yeah. He was all he was verklempt.
I know. Sad.
But you know, that's another issue I had here, and it didn't bother me past the initial, that was a weird choice. But when there's this huge build up to seeing Jenny Lind sing.
Yeah.
Because she was, like I said, she was one of the most famous people in the world. And they, you know, it doesn't start with her singing. It's just so much, oh God, she's so great. She's so great. She's so great. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, this big, I mean, it's like the scene in the
just
Fifth Element with the diva where you're just like, you know, you're on beta
breath.
What is this going to sound like?
Yeah.
And then it's just like another song in the movie.
Yeah, it's just a big musical number.
I thought it was a very, it wasn't the most show stopping song, but
it had
so much
song.
Life in it. I thought it was so beautiful.
Oh, I thought it was a really good song. I think all the songs.
I know all the songs are just,
but I felt like it should have been something distinctly and remarkably different.
I think they could have taken a risk with that and done something musically interesting and different, and they missed it. I think they could have done something cool. But I'm an opera singer, so...
Yeah. That's, spoiler.
I mean...
I wonder if they felt that they had too many showstoppers.
Maybe they thought they'd turn people off by adding any hint of opera.
Yeah, maybe so.
Yeah,
I feel like there's a way they could have fused it in, at least, and gave them a taste of it. You know?
So I'm like, I want to try something like that, because surely it can be done.
Now, I know you guys had more problems with this than I did, because we were talking afterwards. I'd be curious to hear some of your more...
Well, I thought about it a little while. My problem was with the script, and I thought that it was just very clunky, and, you know, it was very rushed, and but then I sort of had to tell myself that this is... A musical that's been put to film. It's not like a movie musical. It's not like Moulin Rouge,
right?
Where
no.
that is a movie musical.
Right.
This is a musical that's been put to film,
mm-hmm.
right?
More than anything else. And once I saw it in that point, from that point of view, I thought, well, it's fantastic. It's great.
It's like what I did too. I'm like, what was it that I was having problems with? It was script. It was it was not a traditional script. It wasn't formulaic.
I think it wasn't. Mm-hmm. We said it's more of an animated musical done live action than it feels like a stage musical or even something like Chicago or something.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
Even with the way it does all its transitions, you know, between scenes, it's all like they all felt like I was shocked this was not a Disney movie after watching it.
Yeah.
I was like, this felt like a Disney movie.
And then the clear winner here was all the music. The music was amazing. If they had just left out the actual spoken dialogue and sung it like in in an opera, just in a,
yeah, exactly.
Like an opera, but in the musical
the
form,
story,
it would have flown. It would have flown better. Right? Would have soared above the masses.
But no, the story does flow better through the music.
Yes.
You get so much story and character.
And then the people talk and you're like, oh my God, can I just get to the next musical?
Yeah, number? Pretty much.
Great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very weird. Obviously, neither one of the people who did the music has done a musical.
Oh, and the music was great. The choreography was amazing.
Well, the music and lyrics were from the guys that did La La Land.
Oh, were they? Okay.
Yeah.
All right,
which,
so maybe that's just a score.
Which
then.
Really surprised me because I hated the music in La La Land.
Did you really?
I did not like it. I can't remember a single song from La La Land.
This musical did a thing where it was really trying to appeal, I think, to younger audiences by, A, you know, it's short attention span theater. It moves super fast and it's super colorful. And B, they reoccur the same leitmotifs in almost every song.
Yeah,
like they can constantly bring back the same refrains into it, you know, like you're like, okay, don't forget these songs. We want you to leave the audience, the theater humming them.
Yeah,
it's not subtle about it at all. And that is going to annoy some musicals fan, but it's certainly far from the only one that's guilty of that.
Yeah, that's true.
And I'm not sure the guilty is the right word, but you know, like that does that.
But it uses that technique.
But I did. I found myself tumming and tapping my foot and going, these are really good, fun songs that they definitely film around them in a way where the musical numbers are not just sort of, let's stop the whole movie so everyone can sing. It's more like, let's tell the story during a musical number.
Yeah.
Like have them use the number tell the story. And there's not even a demon that making them do it, which confused the hell out of me.
full disclosure, I have actually downloaded the soundtrack to this movie.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I loved it. I loved it.
I was thinking about doing it. I just haven't quite made it that far.
I have, actually.
At that point where you're going to just be belting it out in the car.
I was, actually.
Traffic,
I was
like, and you look over and there's
this is the greatest show. Yeah. Sorry. That's as much as I'm going to do.
It is fun. It's energetic. And
it is.
I can't imagine... at least not liking it, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, like, I can't see anyone hating it unless their heart is cold and dead.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, there are those out there, but
they
probably won't even go see this movie.
True. Good.
Yeah.
It's our movie. More movie for us.
Yes, exactly. It's more special that way.
Yep.
Well, let's go to final thoughts. Frank, what do you think?
You know, we praise, like, the filming and the music and the performances, but we haven't really talked about the theme, and the theme is really what, you know, got to me. And it's, you know, it's a film about inclusion and humanity. Mm. And even though it's done in a very sort of escapist, you know, let it wash over you way, it's very real, you know, these misfits that were brought together because someone thought they were beautiful. And I love that. That really gets to me. And I think that's where the movie's real heart and soul is. Everything else, it's just fortunate that everything else just works as well as it does. I know that I saw Hugh Jackman on Today Show saying that it took him 7 years to get this movie made off the ground.
Wow.
Musicals are an expensive business.
Yeah, exactly. And they're so dicey.
Yep.
Yeah. But thank God for his persistence because this is one of the most heartwarming experiences of the year, you know. You know, from start to finish, it's beautiful to look at. It's great to listen to. It just, it's very energetic, and you know, it just makes you feel good.
Yeah,
it does make you feel good. And not a lot of movies do that these days. So I'm gonna give it. I think I'm gonna give it 10 out of 10. Burning Zac Efron's on fire.
Damn, I feel like we should have a sound effect, balloons that fall from.
I know, right? It's like, damn it! Why couldn't I find anything bad to say? No, I'm just kidding.
Oh my goodness.
But yeah.
What about you, Laura?
I had to sit and think about it after I watched it. And, once I realized how I needed to look at it, like, oh yeah, that's what this is. This is amazing. I loved it. I thought that Hugh Jackman, he and Zac Efron must have been so excited that they could sing and dance again.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I could think of because I love singing and dancing. And when you haven't done it and then you get to go back to it, it's like putting on a familiar coat and you're like, oh, this is amazing. And you can see it in their performances. I think one of the standout performances was Zac Efron and Zendaya's duet in the center. It was
amazing.
It was just show-stopping, and that's not supposed to be... I don't think it's supposed to be what you leave with, but I thought it was great. I love the cinematography because it just whisks you into the world. I love the colors and just how bombastic it is. The music's great.
I think bombastic is exactly the right word.
Yeah. And, if I just... don't listen to any of the dialogue and just listen to all the music. It's all fine. So, and the villains, you know, they all have a reason for being, the villainous character, you know, the critic, course. They all have reasons
we
for
should
being,
hate this movie.
I know. Yeah. There's even some humanity in him, and that's nice. And like you said, the theme is...
he says it's also a celebration of humanity, the critic called it.
Which is what it which, is. Yeah. And considering the times that we are in right now, I think that it is lovely. And like mm-hmm. you said, I feel good, and I hope people go see it. I actually want to take people to this.
Yeah, you know? I do too.
There's
yeah.
something for everybody, and I think little kids will go to this and like it and find something in it that they can hitch on to, like, oh my mm-hmm. gosh, I feel like that too. I'm a misfit. I love it. So, yeah. anyhow, but, the only problem was
they're mutants again.
I know, right? Back to the mutants.
Why do you always find yourself in a group of mutants, Hugh Jackman?
Come on,
yeah.
Hugh Jackman.
Well, I'm not going to give it a 10. I'm going to give it a 9 because the Jenny Lind thing just really didn't do it for me. That's small. So 9 Swedish Nightingales.
I think there's so many things here that are so good. It is kind of a shame that to me I felt like the drama isn't as good in dialogue as it could be. I was very much, I didn't mind it. There's no point they're talking. I'm like, this is terrible dialogue or anything, but I'm like, this is so boring compared to when you're doing
you
the song.
Yeah,
that aspect's so much stronger.
You could probably have
yeah.
a film.
Yeah. yeah.
You wouldn't need any
I felt like this felt like one where they should have just sung their entire way yeah. through the movie, mm-hmm. one of those type of musicals. Yep. It would have been improved on that level. That being said, like I said, still a lot of fun. As you guys both pointed out, the whole celebration of like our different, celebrating our differences, not like becoming estranged from each other because of them, that about the diversity, beauty of the diversity of the human race is, it's stirring. Mm-hmm. It really is. And they make it work here. There's, you know, that other message of like, be careful not to forget the people in your life who really mean something to you, who mm-hmm. really care about you, when don't get distracted by life's other stuff and mm-hmm. forget mm-hmm. about those yeah. important right. things. This yeah. also turns into a very moving, I think, part of the story. I thoroughly enjoyed this. I give it 9 out of 10 Fiji mermaids that we did not get to see. Very sad about that. I was like, where's the Fiji mermaid? Where's the skeleton of John Merrick, the elephant man? Where oh, are man. They? Well, do you think that was supposed to be John Merrick in the beginning?
I think so. That, yeah.
Because there's a little scene where him as a kid, like someone with elephantism, gives mm-hmm. him an apple. Yeah. And I'm like, I assume that's what they were getting at, right?
I think you might be, yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
So I know it was just like briefing it on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Poor John Merrick. What a way to go. Now I'm all sad.
More lies on film now, though.
Yeah.
Stories.
It's true.